Good evening. The time is 6:30. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Welcome to the first in our series of live election forums on Raven Radio. Tonight we're featuring school board candidates Ed Gray and Jennifer McNichol. We'll be taking listener calls tonight. The number you can call if you have a question for the candidates is 747-5877. You can also email your questions to news@kcaw.org or post a comment on the forum thread on Raven Radio's Facebook page. And I have that open right here in the air room, so I'll be able to see your question right here as it comes up. So again, the number 747-5877 or email news@kcaw.org if you have a question for school board candidates Ed Gray or Jennifer McNichol. Raven Radio election forums will continue tomorrow night at 6:30 when we'll be joined by the five candidates running for assembly, Alexander Allison, Aaron Bean, Evie Kinnear, Kevin Knox, and Aaron Swanson. On Wednesday at 6:30, we'll be joined by the three candidates running for mayor in Sitka, Matthew Hunter, Mary Magnuson, and Benjamin Maiasato. And finally, on Thursday evening at 6:30, we'll host a panel discussion on ballot proposition number one, which asks voters to raise the property tax cap in Sitka from 6 to 8 mills. We'll hear from proponents and opponents of that measure and hopefully send some useful information your way. The October 4th municipal election is just our first visit to the polls this year. On Tuesday, November 8th, we'll vote for our legislative representation in Juneau and in Washington, D.C. Republican Sheila Finkenbinder is challenging two-term incumbent Democrat Jonathan Christ Tompkins to represent Sitka. We expect to schedule a forum with those candidates sometime in mid-October. Ed Gray and Jennifer McNichol are running for a 3-year term on the school board. There is one other vacancy on the board right now to be filled by appointment. If anyone listening would like to serve on the board through October 2017, submit a letter to the district office by this Friday at 4 p.m. I'm Robert Woolsey, news director here at Raven Radio. I'll be moderating our forum tonight. We really would love to hear from you. The number to call is 747-5877 or email news@kcaw.org or post a comment on the this thread on our Facebook page. Let's dive in and talk a little bit with our candidates, Ed and Jennifer. Ed, why don't you start us out and tell us a little bit about your interest, who you are, and your interest in running for school board.
Yeah, my name is Ed Gray, and I'm a 29-year resident of Sitka. I have two children, school-aged children. One is a senior at Mount Edgecombe, and the other one is a freshman this year at Sitka High. I kind of got involved with education 13 years ago, and my children became that age, and have been active, have been active in the school district, and taken on and participated in projects and volunteerism and service, and then last year I ran for school board. And I've worked the past several years specifically on the issue of federal control of education. I worked for the last 2 years on legislative efforts related to education, and I would like to serve the local district.
All right. And your wife, Clara, on the Sitka Tribe of Alaska Tribal Council?
Yeah, my wife, Clara, is an employee at Search and is a, I don't know how many terms she's been on Sitka Tribe, but she's been on Tribal Council for quite a long time.
And your daughter is at Edgecombe, a senior, right?
Correct. My daughter is in Edgecombe, is a senior at Edgecombe. This is her last year. She's considering a lot of education options, plans on attending colleges, is in the process of applying now and choosing majors and so forth. So,
and your son is a freshman at Sitka High?
Correct. My son is a freshman at Sitka High. This is his first year in the brick and mortar schools. He's been in the Sitka School District in the REACH program and has been homeschooled through 8th grade, and so this is his first year in a school building, yes.
All right, thanks. Ed Gray, candidate for school board. Jennifer McNichol, what about you?
What about me? I am a 20-year resident of Sitka this past Labor Day. I arrived here with my husband, John Bachoco. We are both physicians at Search. I've been fortunate enough to be able to do that part-time since having kids. He's been bearing the full-time load, although I do work at home. I have to acknowledge that. So I also have two kids, and just like Ed, I have a senior and a freshman. They are both at Sitka High, and they've attended Sitka schools all the way through since kindergarten. I have served on the school board in the past year. I was appointed to fill the remainder of Lon Garrison's term when he moved from town last year. So that's been a really interesting experience, and I was not certain that I wanted to run for the three-year term initially, but as I went along, I just felt like, okay, I'm riding this steep learning curve, and it would be silly to just kind of jump off the train now. So I'd like to continue to advocate for our district, which I think is largely very strong and doing good things, but needs steady hands to kind of keep on course, especially in these trying budget times. I've kind of followed my kids along. I served on the Mount Edgecombe Preschool Board way back when, and then the Baranoff Barracuda Swim Board as they were swimmers, so I sort of feel like I'm stalking them a little bit, but at least on the school board, I'm not actually in the building with them most of the time, although it seems like I have a lot of reasons to go to Sitka High these days. I hope to continue on in this role and help maintain and continue to strengthen our district as it is.
Are you worried about filling some very big shoes with Lon Garrison's departure?
Well, Lon's shoes were huge, and I'll tell you, I have pretty small feet, but I've done my best to step in and be an active board member. As you mentioned, we have another vacancy on the board right now that we're looking to fill by appointment, and that's Tim Fulton, who also has large shoes to fill. Tim and Lon both really created a legacy of a very strong, well-functioning board. As a group of five individuals working together on a common goal and working together as a board and not with simply individual agendas. I think they were very successful in that regard and set a good model for the rest of us to follow.
All right. The number to call is 747-5877. If you have a question for our school board candidates, Jennifer McNichol or Ed Graham, the two are running for one open seat on the Sitka school board. And as we mentioned, there is another vacancy to be filled by appointment on the Sitka school board, a one-year term, and you'd have to get a letter into the district office by this Friday if you'd like to apply for that. And I think the appointment will happen on the 27th. That number sticks in my head. Anyway, so some new faces on the school board, but a lot of the challenges remain kind of old challenges. The top of my list, since no one has called yet, is school funding. And we talked about this in our interviews when we did profile stories of you guys. The district balanced its budget this year by drawing on $1.1 million in savings. You've only got $950,000 left in savings and reserves. And $600,000 of that the district likes to keep to buffer for emergencies. But I'm just wondering, for both of you, what does sustainability look like in the district? It seems like the last few years it's been a funding crunch. Is there a route to sustainability, do you think, that the board should be looking at? Maybe we'll start with Jennifer this time and go to Ed.
I think it's really crucial to recognize that a school district cannot create revenue. We're not a business. We can't levy our own taxes. I mean, it's a nonprofit enterprise, and it's it cannot create revenue. So, you know, we're bound to the money that we receive from our funding sources. We're also required by law to have a balanced budget, and we have had a balanced budget in our district all this time. So, you know, recognition of that is important, I think. We're faced with just very tough times as far as our state budget, our municipal budget, the federal budget to some extent as well. So, you know, we're getting pinched on every side. It's certainly not there's no easy fix. We need to try to keep things under control as far as certainly not expanding, but we also are trying to maintain the staff we have, and frankly, you know, employees are the largest portion of the budget, and a lot of that is, you know, expenses that are locked in by contracts that are negotiated every 3 years for the most part. So there's a lot of moving parts as far as the funding we receive, but then there's a lot of fixed things as far as our expenses. So it's a tough balancing act. I think trying to advocate for what we do and why it should be supported and why it should be a priority is an important job for all of us, not just board members, but the whole community.
Advocacy. Ed Gray, what are your thoughts on sustainability in the school district?
Yeah, I one of the, you know, one of my big issues with, you know, with the federal education is that, you know, and I even think our board has been a little inconsistent in that they have, they're very supportive. I mean, we've hired the, you know, the most pro-fed superintendent in the state, but yet they have consistently complained about these unfunded mandates that come to the district. And I think that's the problem, you know, one of the major issues with federal education is that a school board loses control over spending decisions and issues. We're in a system, you know, that the feds require, you know, specific curriculum testing, and you know, and we're expected to fund these things, you know, rather than having the flexibility to do that, you know, ourselves in an affordable way. And so it's kind of, we're kind of put in, you know, just a no-win situation. And the other problem with, you know, with the national, with nationalized education is that education, as well as being nationalized, is being socialized. So Sitka is going to be consolidated with other districts that are lower performing, and even the resources we have now are going to be, you know, shifted to lower performing, you know, districts, which in our case is, you know, the population centers, Sitka, Juneau, Anchorage, we do better, you know, you know, our schools just do better than the rural schools do. But by socializing education, a lot of the resources that these schools, that SITC has, are going to get shifted to these, you know, these lower performing schools. So we're facing crisis, you know, we're facing crises that, you know, the school district's not even talking about yet, and funding problems. And, you know, until we regain control over, you know, over our school district, until we can make those decisions, we're going to struggle. It's a no-win situation for us.
Thanks, Ed Gray. Do you have a response to that, Jennifer?
I guess I'm not clear on what the consolidation that Ed's referring to is. I think it's also important to keep in perspective that our budget is, you know, $20 to $21 million. We get less than $1.3 million from federal funding. The majority of our funding is from state funds and then our local contribution. So we're not largely federally funded by any means or any stretch of the imagination. So I don't think that focusing on the federal aspect of things is really an answer for our district. We do have local control. We have a local board. We receive, you know, $6.5 million of funding from our local government of our $20 to $21 million budget. So I just think the perspective is not accurate to try to frame it as a federal control issue. I don't think that's accurate.
All right. The number to call is 747-5877, or you can email a question to news@kcaw.org or post a question on this thread on the Raven Radio Facebook page. I have another question about funding, Ed, and we'll start with you, and it might help bring some of these issues into focus. Against his better judgment, the governor decided not to veto the $50 increase in the base student allocation. So, and that's sometimes called the foundation formula. It meant another $6.3 million across the state for schools, $70,000 for the school district. But he did veto the school bond reimbursement program, which means it's going to take longer for us to pay back the new roofs that we bonded for all the schools. You know, and Ketchikan has actually sued the state, arguing that education is a state responsibility. They want to get out of paying for it altogether. So how do you as board members step up to support schools when the state is in a position where it wants to step back?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the most important thing is we have to go to, you know, we have to go to lawmakers that we've been working with, lawmakers that support education. We have to, you know, we have to approach, you know, we have to approach those, and we have to, you know, one of the things I've been real active in is, you know, into this election season. The group that I work with is finding lawmakers who are pro-education, and working to get those people elected. That's something statewide we've been doing. We've been working heavily at to get pro-education lawmakers, and so so that's the biggest thing that we can do is to get the people, you know, that we need who are supportive of education, and, you know, and then go to them as we've been doing for the last, you know, 2 to 3 years. We've been working, you know, with lawmakers on you know, our pro-education, you know, policies and pushing those forward and getting them to move those. That's the most important thing we can do.
And the group that you work with, again, is it Alaskans Against the Common Core, or is it sort of a more diffuse?
Yeah, core? Alaskans Against Common Core is it's a core group. It's a statewide core group. It's basically a research group, and that group does a lot of work for anti-Fed Ed, you know, lawmakers, superintendents, school boards, but it's primarily a research group. So the coalition that I refer to are just generally anti-federal control. Superintendents, school board members, lawmakers, parents, so forth.
Well, you got to get an acronym going or something.
Yeah,
we're going to work on that. Jennifer, what about this idea that the governor did the unthinkable? Well, he almost did. He almost vetoed the BSA, and it kind of passed by just kind of a, I think it was a legal
His
glitch.
Mistake, yeah.
Yeah, and then the 600, the bond issue. That was nobody. I don't think anybody really saw that coming down the pike. So you're in a situation where you're urging advocacy and pressuring the state, and the governor is like going, he's using his veto pen to step back from some state obligations. What does that mean?
I think it means that I don't know. I think the governor is trying to raise the ire of the public, frankly. I think he's trying to draw attention from all factions to the crisis and to the the ineffectiveness of the legislature's strategies thus far of essentially, you know, doing nothing to address where we're at. That's the sense I had, was that it was kind of a, you know, frustration on his part. He, you know, calls special sessions and nothing happens, but money gets spent. And he's, you know, trying to kind of get everyone's eyes focused on the problem by affecting all of us. I mean, it was a fairly broad and even veto, display of vetoes that he wielded back in June, July. It affected many people, as the PFD cut affects every single Alaskan pretty much. I think he's trying to really, you know, poke the bee's nest and get people trying to push the legislature to solve some problems and to step up and actually address the crisis we're in, rather than, you know, lots of platitudes and micromanaging of things that really they don't need to be involved in, like tying our hands on, you know, what sorts of instructors we can use for various topics in the classroom and that sort of thing. You know, the real issue is funding, and they're not focused at all on that, it seems.
Ed, do you have a reaction to that? Was the governor, did the governor get our attention with the veto?
Yeah, I'm not really, you know, I've been pretty critical of a lot of the governor's actions, and you know, I feel the same way. I don't know if he's trying to be a one-term governor or what his goal is, but I know, you know, I know that, you know, my contact is with the legislature. I don't talk to the governor. Now we do have, you know, you know, some of our members who do communicate with him. I'm not one of them. Yeah, I don't really, like I said, I don't know if he's trying to be a one-term governor or what he's attempting.
The number to call is 747-5877 if you have a question for our school board candidates. This is the first of four live election forums we have planned on Raven Radio this week. Tomorrow we'll have assembly candidates on at this time. Wednesday, mayoral candidates. And Thursday, we'll have a forum about ballot proposition number one. We have a caller on the line. Hi, Pamela. You're on the line with school board candidates Ed Gray and Jennifer McNichol.
Yes, thank you. This question was for Ed Gray, and it was a couple of conversation backs when he was talking about the Alaskans Against Common Core group.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm getting feedback, so I didn't know if I was coming through.
I have a question about
a meme that Ed put up on social media depicting the superintendent as an ISIS fighter and saying there was no learning except Common Core and Mary is the messenger. And it smacked of bullying and name-calling. And I'm just curious how he reconciles that to then running for a school board and setting a good example for kids.
All right. Thank you for your question, Pamela.
You bet. Thanks.
Ed Gray, the question is about the Sitka Chatters meme.
Correct.
The Alaskans against. Do you know what she's talking about?
Oh yeah. I you know, I realize, and I know I received credit for that, but it didn't come from Sitka. There were several memes that came from statewide, and like I said, while I received credit from it, it wasn't my meme. I didn't create it. I know I got credit for it, but I didn't create it.
Yeah, the meme shows Mary Wagner wearing a hijab on a camel, and it says, "There is no learning but Common Core, and Wagner is its messenger." That didn't come from Sitka?
No, it came from outside of Sitka.
Do you know who did it?
Yes.
And you circulated it on Sitka Chatters?
Yeah, I posted it on Sitka
Why?
Chatters. Well, I understood when it got sent down, I understood the message initially. Actually, when I posted it, I didn't know it was Mary Wagner. they sent the post down, and I posted that. I didn't know the Photoshop was of her, but I understood what I understood where the message was coming from and why it was sent.
Jennifer, did you see the thing that the posted the caller was talking about?
I did not see it. I heard about it. I avoid Sitka chatters. I just don't think it is something that needs to take up my time. But I certainly did hear about it. Yeah.
All right. I have another question on funding. And if anybody else has a call, feel free, 747-5877. I don't want to monopolize the candidates' time. I think it's important for you folks out there to get your ideas in as well, because I talk with these guys a lot, both as candidates and when they're on the board. So this is your opportunity. You can also email questions to news@kcaw.org. I wanted to get into something concrete about funding. Jennifer, you'll have this question first. Enrollment is down 27 students below projection right now, and the district, Mary Wagner, at the last school board meeting says she's cautiously optimistic that we'll climb back to 1,300 by October. What happens if it doesn't, and the district is forced to make some kind of real cuts this year?
I think it all depends on where those numbers come from. You know, if they're obviously, if it was 27 kids from one grade, well, that'd be pretty obvious. You get rid of one classroom. Yeah, I think it all really depends on what the distribution is of where those kids are coming from. So a lot remains to be seen there.
Yeah, Ed, this was at the school board meeting last week. The district is below projections on enrollment. If you're elected to the board, it could be the first thing you have to deal with. How do you make up for the budget shortfall this year due to lower than expected turnout?
Yeah, I know. I'm aware of that, and actually, I know a lot of the situations and cases, and where a lot of those people, went. And I think that's something that we have to deal with is that, like homeschool, for instance, is outpacing public school registration at a rate of 7 to 1. So people are just, people are leaving public education. That's a trend nationwide, and that's something that that's just something that's, like I said, it's not just Sitka; it's nationwide that people are leaving the public school system and going in, and homeschooling. I know that we had a big shift that a lot of families decided to leave Reach and go to other homeschool programs. There's a significant number that did that, and so that's just the reality. If we don't offer, if the school district isn't going to offer what people are looking for, they're going to move. Now, how do we deal with that? How do we deal with that budget shortfall? Everybody knows you start cutting. A lot of the questions are like, what's going to be, it comes down to, okay, people are talking about what's going to be cut. And it's going to be the same conversations about, sports activities, the Performing Arts Center, all these same questions are going to come up. But as I said before, I think the bigger problem, the bigger issue with that, is that we have to get control of we have to have local control. Without local control, We're not going to be able to make any changes. We're just going to keep cutting, all those programs, and it's going to go further. We are going to go down the path of technology, technology based schools. We are going to go the path of teacherless schools. That's what's being done nationwide, and that's where we're going to wind up. So the issue to me is still, to make the argument that, that the issue is not Fed Ed, we have a mandated federal standard. We have a federal mandated assessments. And at this point, we're still able to choose from, you know, some curriculum that's approved by John King, you know, who's the EED chairperson. But with Fed Ed driving, if they're driving our curriculum and driving our assessments and driving our standard, then it is relevant. It is the problem. And so, you know, until we get some local control in that we can make these decisions, you know, we do have a local school board now. We can't even be sure that that's going to, you know, we may not need a local school board before long if we continue down this, you know, continue down the Fed Ed path. So, and that's why we're so committed to ending it, so we can make these decisions, so we can make spending decisions over, you know, our resource, over our educational resources.
Yeah. Let me rephrase the question. You're flying an airplane from here to Juneau. Midway, you realize you don't have enough gas to get to Juneau. What do you do? That's the situation that the district could be in if enrollment falls below projections.
Well, as I say, it's the same conversation we've been having, the same one we're going to continue. We're going to cut. We're going to start cutting.
Okay, so you're just going to start looking to cuts. I was worried you were talking about let's find another aircraft, and I was thinking for specifics. Do you have a response to that?
Yeah, I have a couple questions and responses. As far as the enrollment numbers that we looked at that last meeting, they were actually, you know, broken out pretty nicely as far as, you know, what accounted for those numbers. And there was actually a very high proportion of families who had moved.
Some were 54 right. was 54 students just left town.
Exactly. And some of that was, you know, apparently there were a couple of very large Coast Guard families that moved on, but also, you know, non-Coast Guard families as well that have moved. And I think that's a reflection of the greater, you know, economic challenges that Sitka's facing. So I think that's very important to recognize as the majority of the decrease in enrollment, at least at the present time, seems to be accounted for mostly by moving. So that's one point. The other issue, just Ed made the comment that standards are federally mandated. They're not. They're not federally mandated. We adopt standards as a district. Our state adopts standards as a state. Common Core, for example, is not a federally mandated standards. The state of Alaska did not adopt Common Core as standards. The Sitka district adopted them independently because districts adopt their own standards independently. Assessments are not federally mandated. Yes, they are potentially linked to grant funding. So there's some incentive to be involved in certain assessments. But I think it's important to recognize what local control is, and we do have local control. I would rather be having our local school board making decisions about standards and assessments and things like that than an ad hoc statewide or nationwide committee of folks who, you know, pressure legislators. I don't think that's local control.
We can talk more about standards and assessments. I wanted to give Ed the opportunity to think about it again. Yeah, they did talk about the breakdown in why we're low. And you are right, some students did go to the home school that is not district run by the district. 7 students went to Mount Edgecombe High School this year, which is different than, I think, 20 went last year. But the most concerning thing was that just 54 students left Sitka. Their families moved out. As school board, I mean, as school board, that has got to be somehow concerning that there's leakage in just the student population.
Yeah, I think it's not abnormal for Coast Guard families to leave. I mean, that's not abnormal. We're all aware that. We are all aware of that. It's more difficult for families, and a lot of families, Well, a number of families are leaving Sitka because of economic concerns. We all know those families. We know those people who are leaving. So, and yeah, that's a problem. That's a general overall problem with Sitka. Sitka's affordability and opportunities here, I continue to see that, and I mean, almost every other person you talk to is looking at the option. People that were committed to Sitka don't seem to be committed as they have been in the past, and people are looking at that. I know, because I'm in the fishing industry, and that's where a lot of my friends are. I know a lot of those families have made the decision to move to other ports, places that they consider more affordable for a family. And I know more that are intending to do that. So, that's something that's going to continue to happen, I believe.
Yeah, the Coast Guard rotates out every 2 to 4 years. I think the 54 students who left were on top of the Coast Guard families, the district polls departing students. So that's 54 people who just left town for reasons unknown. We have a question on our Facebook thread, we've been kicking the ball around, but Ed is the first new question. What is the function of public education in our society? This is specifically not intended to mean what public education can mean to parents and families, but why, as a society, do we support schooling for all children, and what outcomes should communities expect? This is from Stephen. What is the purpose of public education to society, not necessarily to kids and families?
Well, I think, there's really two opposing views of education that are in conflict right now. And, one is a traditional view that parents oversee the upbringing and education of their children. And the other is that the primary role of the federal government is to oversee the education upbringing of children. That's being voiced by a lot of people behind the Fed Ed movement. It's being voiced by a lot of people that are driving that, who believe that that education. Education is by necessity being transformed into workforce development for a managed economy, and so that ideal of creating a workforce of the federal government overseeing the creation of a workforce to serve the state is different and in conflict with our traditional view. Our traditional view is that children are educated to achieve as individuals, to achieve individually, that they're educated and that their education and values are overseen by their parents, by their families, and are imparted on them by their parents and families. And their behaviors, reflect what they learn from their families. Now, these are just two opposing views of education, and people come down on both sides of it. I, of course, am on the traditional side, where I believe that the parents oversee the upbringing education of their children, and that children should have the ability and right to aspire and succeed, And there's a part of our society that believes that children are to be created into a workforce to serve the state and a managed economy.
All right. Thanks, Ed Gray. Jennifer McNichol, would you like me to repeat the question?
Yeah, actually, I would like to hear it again.
What is the function of public education in our society? Not what it means to parents and families, but why, as a society, do we support schooling for all children, and what outcomes should communities expect? This is from Stephen on the Raven Radio Facebook page.
Yeah, that's a great question. I really appreciate it, Stephen. Thank you. I don't know. I hope I can do it justice. I'm not sure that I can. But my, I think in terms of our nation, and we certainly didn't invent public education, but I think we've taken it a long ways. To function as a democracy, we need an educated populace. We need people who understand what democracy is, but also are informed so that they can vote and have their voices be heard and help determine how things run. That's what a democracy is. I don't necessarily accept the dichotomy that was laid out earlier. I think we all agree that, you know, kids should learn from their parents and learn within their family, but there has to be recognition that not all kids, unfortunately, get that benefit. I'm not an educational historian, but, you know, traditionally in societies that didn't have, you know, public schools for all, wealthy kids were educated because their families, you know, hired people or had the time on their hands and the resources on their hands to educate their children, and the rest of the world was not educated. Just there was no common ground. So I think public education is designed to create that common ground that we all, you know, the foundation that we all develop from. Where we go with it, obviously, that's where the individualism and the creativity and choices come in. But I think, and I know I'm probably getting away from Stephen's question, but again, I think that public education, the purpose of it is to help us exist as a democratic society, and also just on a basic level to live as a community. We want people who are educated, who can communicate with one another, who can make important decisions from a well-informed basis. I think I'm kind of rattling on, but that's basically how I see it.
Well, it is a big question, for sure.